Are you looking to generate more rental income with your investment property? Do you want to run your properties with less hassle so that you have more free time? Well, then you are at the right place. This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
I put together a list of 7 things I wish I knew earlier about renting properties, and you can download your free copy. Just go to my website, freelandlordgift.com. So today on the show, we've got someone that has really figured out the rental property business. Patty Robertson is joining us on the show. Patty owns 43 rental properties, and she also owns a property management company, which I think is really smart because when you get to that level of properties, you really need some help. You can't do it all by yourself. And it sounds like she has figured that out and she's really leveraged that help into a separate business that's generating even more cash flow for her and her family. So, Patty, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dan.
Great. Well, I am super excited to talk to you here today. And so why don't we start with you just maybe giving us a little bit more about you and how you got to this position you're in today.
Sure. Well, my husband and I have been in the franchise business for a lot of years. So we still have those businesses. So we started with retail, a retail tax business, some Jackson Hewitts. And then we bought some Great Clips hair salons. We still have those. So we still have both of those businesses. And we knew that the income tax business was trending down. You know, long term, we had some risks there with the internet eating away at that business. So back in 2006, 2007, we started looking for a long term replacement of that income. And because we're comfortable in the franchise world, that's where we went. And we looked at a whole bunch of different brands, but ended up with a Homevestors franchise. Homevestors is a We Buy Ugly Houses franchise. Mm-hmm. It's the only national franchise for home buying. We ended up with that and started wholesaling and flipping. And quickly, you know, in networking with people in the real estate business, we learned that people who are wealthy in real estate own a lot of real estate, whether it's residential or commercial. And it was, you know, the light bulb went on one day when somebody said, you know, think about where your retirement investments are. You've got, you know, a lot of people buy stock, but where can you buy stock at half price? You know, you can. Right. When you're buying stock, you buy it whatever today's price is. But we were buying houses at, you know, 50 to 70 cents on the dollar. And then when you turn it into a rental, somebody else is making that mortgage payment if you have a mortgage on it. So essentially, but when you get to the point that the house is paid off, you have almost a free retirement vehicle. So it was just a huge light bulb. So we've converted our model. We still do a little bit of wholesaling and a little bit of flipping, but our goal now is focused on having 50 rental properties free and clear.
So you're almost there at 43 you have right now. So you're almost at the goal.
Well, there are two parts to that goal. One is the number of houses, and the more important one is to have them free and clear. So we're not there yet. But we have some that we own in our IRAs that are free and clear. We have a couple, but not very many. So our focus now is getting debt paid off so that we can have them free and clear.
All right. Well, so take me back real quick to your very first property. Like, how did you find it? How did you know that this was the perfect rental for you?
Our first one, it was a Homevestors lead, and it was a local landlord. It was a guy who lives in my neighborhood right now. He had some rental property. It was we call it our compound. It's a little area where with contiguous lots. We have one single family house, 2 duplexes, and a large barn type structure that we rent storage spaces out of and put a laundromat in. And you know, he was creative. He structured us a deal so that we could get financing, and he offered us some short-term financing so that we could make it all work. And we ended up with our first rental properties. That was 2008. Now, when we look back, we paid way too much for those. They were our first ones. We didn't, you know, we were brand new in real estate. The market had not fully crashed. It was starting to decline, but it wasn't there yet. So we literally paid double for those properties.
Wow.
Than what we're paying now. But You know, when you buy a lot of them, I sort of think of it in terms of dollar cost averaging them in, and you know, we love the properties, and since then we've refinanced them out, so we don't think about that anymore. But that's how we got started.
So, is there a certain type of property that's your niche, or are you just buying anything that looks like a good deal?
We really like, we have specific financial criteria, so we want to be all in at a certain price. You know, we're in the Norfolk, Virginia market, and rents are pretty strong here. We have a lot of military, and our real estate prices are fairly inexpensive. So our model is we want to be all in between $70,000 and $75,000 for a 3-bedroom, 1-bath that we can rent for $1,100 to $1,200 a month.
Okay, you know? And are you looking at fixing up the properties, or are you finding properties that are ready to go?
We typically fix them up, but because you can buy, the more broken they are, the lower you can buy them. And I can, because we fairly much have our own crew now, so we can fix them up cheaper than buying them already fixed up. So we're getting ready to close on one that another investor already fixed up and couldn't sell. So we're getting it at a fairly good deal, but we're paying a little bit more than we would have had we been able to buy it and fix it up ourselves. Typically we fix them up. There are a couple different strategies that landlords use. I hang around with a lot of landlords who never fix up their properties. It's not that it's a bad business model, but that's not the business model we've chosen. We fix up every property when we buy it. We want it to be in great condition. We put in new HVACs. You know, we don't want to have high maintenance. We want pretty properties that will rent at the highest end of the market. And we don't want a lot of maintenance issues.
Yeah. And you know, that must make your life a lot easier too, because you're not getting those phone calls that, hey, something's broken. Everything's brand new. Everything's fixed up.
Right.
And you're probably attracting better tenants too, because good people like nice places. So that's really smart. That's really smart. So how did you get into the property management?
Property management, it was sort of just a natural progression. When we started, and I would recommend all new landlords do this, the first properties we bought had an existing property manager with them. The owner had them property managed by one of the top property managers in our market. And I really like her, but she doesn't, you know, at the time she didn't own rental property. I find that most property managers are not landlords. You know, that's their job. They're doing it for other folks, but they're not landlords themselves. And we had some vacancies for quite a long time, and my husband and I was putting ads out on Craigslist to wholesale properties. And I thought, what the heck? Let me put a couple ads out to fill these rentals. And we had 3 vacancies filled in a weekend. So at that point, you know, we had been with her about a year and a half, and I wouldn't take that back. It was a great learning opportunity. Then we started renting them out, you know, doing the management ourselves. And once you get to a certain number, you know, 10 or 15, you need some help. So we had staff, you know, because we have retail businesses, I had people and I had space. So we just started sort of rolling people into that business, and it happened just, you know, it was just a natural progression. So now we're managing about 100 for other people in addition to our own. We have about 150 tenants under our belt.
Wow. And how many people do you have to run that side of the business?
We have a full-time property manager, bookkeeper, part-time bookkeeper, almost full-time, a receptionist, maintenance supervisor who's part-time, that would be my husband, and a maintenance guy, and myself.
So okay.
Quite a few.
Like, do you market the properties yourself, or do you have realtors that list it in the MLS, or how are you finding tenants?
I'm a broker. In order to manage property for other folks, in Virginia, you can do some property management without being licensed, but not all of it. So I do have my broker's license. So we do only our higher end properties do we put in MLS. Most of our properties we're syndicating out. Our software, we use a property management software called PropertyWare, and it syndicates similar to MLS to all the different websites out there, Trulia, Zillow, about 100 different websites. So we advertise there. We also advertise on the military websites. In our area of the country is, we have a heavy military population, so we advertise there. And we focus a lot in our lower neighborhoods on Section 8. I'm a bit of a Section 8 specialist. We have about 50 Section 8 properties, and we advertise on a website called GoSection8.com, in addition to putting the properties on the Section 8 list in the housing offices. And Craigslist, of course.
Is Craigslist pretty good for you?
Yes.
Okay. So, all right, so when a tenant comes in, what's your process to screen them?
We start with a rental application, and our property warehouse, we have the ability to do that online, or we carry paper forms around with us. So we do our screening. Prior to subscribing to Property Ware, I was using National Tenant Network, which is a great screening source as well, screening company. So we're doing a criminal background check, a credit background check, and a tenant screening check.
And do you charge an application fee?
Yeah, $35 per unmarried adult.
So if you have two applicants, it's $70 then?
Correct.
Right, okay. Okay.
I have to pay to run each one of them, so.
Have you had any I'm sure you have with this many properties, but any real difficult tenants or just nightmare stories?
Knock on wood, most of the nightmare stories I have are properties where landlords are in trouble and they call me for help. And I love those. You know, mm-hmm. To me, it's not a money-making opportunity. It's just, it feels good. It's challenging to turn those around. I had one of my own tenants who was just a pig, but, nothing, knock on wood. No, nothing like some of the stories I read on the internet with hoarders and there's crazy stuff out there. We try to keep people on a pretty short leash. In Virginia, we're fortunate to have a very landlord-friendly state. We can have somebody out in 6 weeks.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So have you had to do many evictions?
We do evictions. Yeah. I mean, I would rather not. I work with tenants. I'd rather put them on a payment plan. I look at the overall picture. You know, my goal I see is to whether the owner of the property is myself or another owner is to maximize the income to that landlord. So I'll give you an example. I had this one was not my property. An owner called me. Usually they call and they say I want to evict this tenant. So he had this guy who was renting a condo, hadn't paid in 6 months. I can't even imagine that. I would never let that happen. And he wanted me to, I said, well, let me go and talk to him first. I went and talked to him. It was a single dad, had five kids. He had been out of work for months. He had a teenager actually die, awful sob stories, but he was back to work. So I sat down with him and did a budget and said, how much extra could you afford to pay if we let you stay? So we moved them from monthly. I also do some things that are a little non-traditional. We don't only do monthly rents. We also will do biweekly or weekly rents. So his job paid him biweekly. So we converted him to biweekly payments with payments that came from payroll deduction, which is different than ACH, that come right from his employer. So we knew we were guaranteed to get paid. And when you switch to biweekly payments, I just take half of the monthly rent would be. So if his rent was $1,000, we switched him to $500 biweekly. And one benefit to the landlord there is that instead of getting an equivalent of 12 monthly rent payments or $12,000 a month, there's 26 pay periods. So the landlord's getting $13,000 a year instead.
Wow. That's awesome.
Right. There's that little benefit.
Yeah.
But then with him, I said, so how much extra could you pay? He said, I can give you an extra $200 of every paycheck. So we put him on a promise. Instead of kicking him out, which, if we did that, the landlord would have had more months of unpaid rent because we would have had vacancy. The place he had been there for like 7 years, so there would have been repair and remodel costs. So this last month he's made his last payment and he's current. So I'd rather be creative with tenants if financially they are able and willing to work with us.
Right.
But I have no problem doing an eviction.
Yeah.
As well.
So are most of your tenants, are they paying you with checks or have you been able to get a lot of people onto ACH or out of payroll?
We have almost none paying through ACH, probably three or four. The majority of our tenants, we have about a third of them are in Section 8. So those payments are or some kind of a HUD, you know, guaranteed rent program. Those come directly, direct deposit. And then a lot of them, believe it or not, they walk in and bring us a money order.
Wow. Do you try to train them to give you a money order so that you don't have problems with bounced checks or?
No, we'll take a check.
Okay.
Most, I find most in today's world, young people don't have checks,
mm-hmm.
and lower income people don't have checks.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, I'll take a check as long as they don't bounce one. If they bounce one to me, I won't take it. But I'm happy to take. We'll take anything other than cash.
Okay.
So we take credit card, money order, ACH, checks. We'll take any payment option other than cash.
Now, you mentioned earlier about your other businesses, your franchises.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have the property management in one of your other businesses, or is it a separate standalone location?
We're in one shopping center. I had two retail leases, very expensive retail mm-hmm. leases. So we did consolidate one, and I now have a building that has it's a retail strip. And on half of it, we have a Jackson Hewitt office. And on the other half, we do the property management. It's not a good solution long term, but I have a lease. I'm personally guaranteed. So that's just financial.
Sure.
It is convenient. Our tenants, it's a very convenient location. So tenants like it.
And so are all your properties, are they all in the same general area?
They're all in Hampton Roads. We don't have counties in our area, which is a little bit odd, but it's in a 7-city area, which most people would consider a county, all in this general area. The longest property probably is 40 minutes either direction from my office. The office
okay.
is in the middle.
Now, what about, are there any special conditions that you put in the lease, like no smoking, no pets? Anything like that you don't allow in the properties?
We will take pets, but not vicious breeds. My insurance won't allow me to have a specific breeds.
Okay. Like Rottweiler, Pitbull type stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. But I will take a pet. We take a pet fee, a $300 non-refundable pet fee up front per pet. So I will take a pet. As long as I have the pet fee paid. I generally don't allow smoking.
Okay.
And we've got, I mean, lots of clauses in our lease, but.
Patty actually sent me over some of the clauses that she typically puts into leases. And if you want to download that, you can go to our show notes page. It's rentalincomepodcast.com/episode3. So, Patty, what do you do between tenants? Do you paint after every lease is over?
Preferably not. One great landlord tip, don't use flat paint. Flat paint is dirt gets on it and you can't wash it off. So we use an eggshell or semi-gloss paint, and we don't use white. In every house we do, we use beige paint and white trim. It looks nice. The pictures are crisp. Our houses rent fast because our pictures look good. And tenants can wash the walls. They like to do that.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll take scuffs off. So we try not to. I mean, sometimes you have to. If you use flat paint, you have to paint between every tenant. There's no way around it. Even just the move-in, move-out scuffs, you can't get off.
Wow, that's a really good tip. We'll put that on the show notes as well as everything else we talked about today. Now, Patty, it is time for the lightning round. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into this.
Now, the Rental Income Podcast Lightning Round. 5 rapid-fire questions and answers in 60 seconds.
All right, the first question is, tell me your favorite real estate book.
I would say not a book, but a newsletter. Any landlord who's not subscribed to MrLandlord.com has got to do it today. I've learned most of my favorite landlording tips from, his name is Jeffrey Taylor. He has a website and a newsletter called Mr. Landlord, and you can find it on MrLandlord.com.
Okay, great. All right, the number one fear that I hear from people that don't want to own a rental property is that they don't want to get a call at 3 a.m. that the toilet's clogged. As a landlord, have you ever gotten this call?
Yes, but I don't answer my phone when I'm sleeping. We have our emergency hotline is my husband's phone number. So we get calls every holiday on Friday afternoon. You know, there's it's inevitable. There's always a problem. But landlords that don't want to take those calls just need to hire a property manager. It's not a big deal. You know, if you don't want to take those calls, somebody else will take them.
Okay.
If the house is burning down at 3 o'clock in the morning, they need to call the fire department, not the owner.
Right. What are you going to do? Right. Okay. All right. We're a little bit over on time here, but let me get these in here real quick. If you had a property that was sitting vacant for 6 months and you had a potential renter apply that had horrible credit, a spotty work history, and a spotty rental history, would you take a chance on him and rent to him or just let the property sit?
With a spotty work history, probably not. However, I almost never feel like I have to say no to a tenant. I look at other options. So I might say I can't take you, you know, with a regular rent and 1 month's deposit. But if they have a lot of cash, we can make things happen. So in Virginia, we're allowed to take a double deposit up to 2 months' rent, and a tenant is allowed to prepay up to 2 months' rent. So with someone, for instance, with income that can't be verified, I've got one guy who is a contractor. He gets paid all under the table, but he gave me great references. So I told him, the only way I can rent to you is if you give me a double deposit, you prepay your last 2 months' rent, and you pay the first month's rent before you move in. So for a $1,000 a month unit, he had to give me $5,000 cash up front. The landlord is completely protected because we can, you know, I can get him out in 6 weeks. So and he's been a perfect tenant.
That's so great. Yeah.
You can come up with creative solutions as opposed to telling people no.
All right. Question number four, if you could give one piece of advice to a new landlord, what would it be?
I would, when you're brand new, hire a professional property manager for the first year or two just to learn and pick their brain before you decide to go out and do it on your own.
That's good advice. Okay. And question number five, would you rent a property to your best friend?
Probably not to my best friend, but I rent properties to several of my employees.
Okay. Okay. Have you had any problems, or have you heard of any problems of people renting to family members or friends? Is that generally not a good idea?
My favorite call as a home buyer is the family member who calls me because they have a family member living in their house and they don't have the heart to evict them. I buy those houses at the best prices.
That's good. That's good.
I have no problem getting them out.
So what is the best way to get a property? Like the best way to get a property at a great price? Like, what's like your number one strategy?
Well, HomeVestors is a great strategy for us because that's the system we're in. But I also buy a lot of houses from other people. You know, I'm a broker, so we do buy some from MLS. But in our market, and I'm sure all of them at this point, there's just so much competition in MLS. So I buy houses. My second highest sort of spot is from wholesalers. You know, other folks, I, you know, as an investor, I sell houses to other people and other people sell them to me.
Well, Patty, we are just about out of time. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I learned a lot, really enjoyed speaking with you. And we do have a special bonus. Patty spent about 5 minutes talking to me about my personal rental. We talked about land contracts, rent to own, owner financing. She gave me some really good advice. And if you would like to eavesdrop on our conversation, you can go to rentalincomepodcast.com/episode3 and you can download that conversation that we had to learn a little bit more. That's it. That's all we got for you today. We will see you next time on the Rental Income Podcast.